Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. There's a million places you could be on this cool, crisp Thursday evening, but you are here listening to Processing the Pain. So again, I want to thank you for joining me in the studio, and I'm going to get right on into the word on tonight. I'm going to lay the foundation. If you've been following me, you know that I like to lay the foundation with the word. And then what we do is we lay the foundation with the word, and then we go from there. Amen. So we're going to just get straight to it. So where I'm going to go tonight is we're going to go into Luke. And now I'm going to be reading in Luke tonight, Luke. The 22nd chapter, and I'm going to go with verses 54 through 62. And I'm, like I said, I'm building the foundation. And if you just hang in there with me, this is the part that nobody likes. Nobody likes when you get into the reading and building the foundation, because we're a microwave generation. We want everything quick and in a hurry. You know, when we say we want something, we want it. When we, you know, if we bring the word, you know, bring it quick. You know, people want to be tickled, their ears tickled. You know, they want things that's going to minister to their emotions. They want to be able to get excited and, you know, and emotional, you know, so generally those things are quick. And so tonight I'm just going to ask you to bear with me. We're going to lay the foundation. I'm going to get into the word, and then we're going to see what is God going to try to tell us on tonight? What is he telling us on tonight? Amen. So again, we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. When you're there, just do a virtual amen. So, him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you would deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Father, we just thank you for your word that you will be bringing on tonight. You are welcome in the studio, Lord. Have your way. Father, I submit completely to you, dying to myself, that your spirit may rise up on the inside, Father. Father God, we thank you for the rhema word that will go forth on tonight. And Lord, we pray that that word will be transformational, Father. Lord, that it not just be another word that we hear, it not just be another good word, but Father God, that it will be a God word, Lord, that's transformational because it's followed by your presence. And we know that your presence carries the anointing, because the anointing is the very presence of God. So, Lord, we just thank you for your presence in this place on tonight. Have your way, Father God. Feed us, Lord, that we not just be fat and full, but, Father God, that we could go and feed others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody excited about the word on tonight? I'm excited. I'm telling you, I can tell you a testimony about my day. I can tell you how many hours I didn't put in. I can tell you that I literally am at the 12th hour of just the end of the day. But I'm excited. I actually was going to do a recorded message on tonight because we had a lot of great shows over the last couple of months. And there was one that really touched my spirit called Recycle Pain, and I was going to play that again tonight and just, you know, so I could just be able to unwind and hear it and be fed and ministered to. And I got home, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to play that another time, but I just felt like, no, Lord, I feel like you got something you need to tell your people, and I'm saying yes, I'm a willing vessel. Lord, you could use me to tell it to your people. So as I was thinking, Lord, what is it that you really want me to share with your people? Well, this week, when I was in my quiet time, something dropped in my spirit. And I've been listening to some really good messages. And I've been listening to one pastor in particular. I'm talking about online. And just some really messages that minister to my spirit. But anyway, this week, something dropped in my spirit, and basically this is what I heard, and I really didn't understand it, but then the more I think about it, the more I meditated on it, the more I said, Lord, you know, I get it. You know, I'm really starting to get that. And so I'm going to just read what dropped in my spirit, and then we're going to get back into the message, because what dropped in my spirit is going to pertain to this message that we're going to talk about tonight. Now, if you don't know the words, then it's not going to make sense to you. But if you know the words, you're going to understand it. But basically, when I was just in my part, what dropped in my spirit is, my deficiencies are my distinctives, which defines me as different, not disabled. And with divine intervention, develops my destiny. I want you to just taste that for a minute. I'm going to read it again. My deficiencies, and let me just break it down for those deficiencies. Deficiencies are your shortcomings, you know, those things that you you lack. So my shortcomings are my distinctives. Distinctives is what makes you distinctive. You know, distinctives could be characteristics, personality, but my deficiencies are distinctive, which defines me as different. So there are certain things about me that are distinctive, and others may see it as deficiencies, but really they define me as different, not disabled. So my deficiencies are not causing me to be disabled because I may be short, have a shortcoming, or maybe I'm lacking in something. It doesn't say that I'm disabled, that I can't, that I'm immobile, that I can't do what God has created me to do. And then it says, goes on to say that with divine intervention, it develops my destiny. So everything that God created me, you know, from the foundation of the earth, he created us to be who he created us to be. And so him creating us, and when we connect back to him, because of course when we're born into this flesh, we're born into sin, we're born into a fallen world. But when we reunite and reconnect, that's called born again, giving our lives back to him, because it was his anyway. So redemption is something that was once in place, taken out of place, and then put back in place. So once we're redeemed and we're giving ourselves back unto him, then that divine intervention that comes from him through his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us develops our destiny. So he takes all of that, and then he uses it. And so the reason why I believe he led me to the story of Peter on tonight is because there was a lot of characteristics about Peter. And, I mean, there's many in the Bible. I thought about Moses, you know, and I thought about, you know, how Moses was kind of born, you know, he was born into, you know, he was adopted. So he was adopted. I thought about him murdering, you know, one of the people that he was raised with. You know, I thought about him running away. I thought about, you know, God calling him, and he had a speech deficiency, and, you know, and so, again, a deficiency, but God still used him. I thought about him. I thought about David. David was puny. We know that because during the selection process, the prophet said, no, it's that one. So David became the king, and I'm sure he had brothers that were more stout than him, that were more built, more swollen, you know, more athletic. They said they were very, you know, matter of fact that David was puny. He was like, he would have been the least likely to become the king. Amen. So I kept thinking about all these different people, you know, thinking about Abram. You know, Abram, you know, we know he lied a couple of times about his wife. We know that God gave him a directive. He told him that, you know, he would make sure that his wife had a baby. And then he turned around and allowed his wife to have him take her handmaiden, which created a whole nother situation. And yet he's the father of many nations. So I'm going on and on and on. But tonight I'm going to focus on Peter. And we're going to focus on Peter because there was a lot of things about Peter. There was a lot of things about Peter, and yet the new church, the New Testament, Peter was the rock that God, that Jesus said he was going to build his church on. This, you know, so Peter, you know, became he was an apostle. He went out, and he taught the good news, and he taught others, and he built, you know, and he helped to plant churches. And so where we are today is because of, you know, Peter, you know, and many others, but Peter particularly. And we know that Peter has some shortcomings. He has some deficiencies. He has some things that made him distinctive, that define him as being a little different, but yet not disabled. And because of his divine intervention of his relationship with Jesus, it developed his destiny. What was his destiny? His destiny was to go out into all nations, declaring the year of the Lord. Amen. So let's just get down to, because all of us have a Peter in us. All of us have some things in us that we don't like. You know, we have some things in us that other people don't like. We've done some things. We said some things. And even in our conscious state of mind of sin, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior, we still make some mistakes. But we're not going to be married to our mistakes. But I'm saying this to you tonight because I believe that the Lord want to encourage us. He want to encourage us that whatever plans that he had purpose for us, those plans still stand in spite of us. Amen? And so be encouraged. Don't allow the enemy to condemn you. Don't allow the enemy to make you think you're not good enough or, oh, you did this. Because the enemy will constantly accuse you. He will constantly remind you of your past. That's what he does, okay? So every time we make mistakes, he's going to hang that over our head like a mistletoe. You remember when you did? And every time God is giving you dreams, visions, and ideas and telling you to step out, go do what I called you to do. A lot of times we're not living our dreams, our visions, and our ideas because we are still held hostage to the mistakes of our past. And mistakes of our past could have been, my past was an hour ago. My past was an hour ago. My past was 30 minutes ago. My past was a minute ago. See, that was my past. And so if we're constantly lingering in our past about something we did in the past, then we'll never be able to be propelled into the future. We'll never be able to even operate in the present if we're constantly worried about what we did in our past. If Peter would have worried about him cutting off the, you know, the soldier's ear, if Peter would have worried about Jesus himself having to rebuke him, you know, say, he said, he didn't say, Peter, get ye behind me. He said, Satan, he's talking to Peter. He said, Satan, get ye behind me. So if Peter would have been caught up in hurt feelings, because, you know, we get hurt. We get offended when people say stuff we don't like. When somebody tells us about ourselves, we get offended. We shut down. We'll quit churches. We'll stop going to churches. We'll stop fellowship, and we'll fall out with family and not talk to them for years because we offended. Amen? And so if Peter would have operated in the flesh and got offended or been, you know, hurt feelings because he had to get corrected by Jesus probably numerous times, and then he turned around and even denied him three times, if, you know, and just think. All of these things, all of these shortcomings, these deficiencies of Peter. Peter was quick-tempered. Peter had a bad temper. Peter was, you know, would get angry quick. And Peter was very much, I often kind of see myself sometimes as Peter. I got the spirit of Peter because whatever kind of comes through my head has a tendency to come out of my mouth. And the Lord is working with me on that. He's growing me. You know, he's saying that I don't have to say everything that comes through my head. I don't have to speak that up. I don't always have to give someone a piece of my mind. See, I used to think I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. But no, I don't have to give them a piece of my mind. Everybody that walking around thinking that they have to give everybody a piece, I got to tell them about themselves. I got to do this. We constantly giving people a piece of our mind to the point where we ain't got no mind left. Amen. We walk around here mindless. Because we're so busy giving everybody a piece of our mind. Amen? So let's get to Peter. I want to talk about some characteristics of Peter. And you're going to probably find yourself in some of these things. You're going to find yourself having some commonality with Peter, some things that Peter operated in. We're not going to just talk about the shortcomings that he had. We're going to get into some good things that, you know, Peter had about him. But we just want to talk about it because I want us to know that we're not alone. All of us go through some stuff. And even the ones that God has called and used tremendously still was not perfect. You know, he was not perfect, but he was perfect in Jesus. Amen? So let me start with the positive. You know, so Peter, we know, had a tender and gentle heart. He really did. He had a tender and gentle heart. I mean, his desire was to serve Jesus. His desire was to help grow the kingdom. Amen. So he had a tender and gentle heart. Peter was bold. When you passionate, you bold. When you passionate about the things of God, you're gonna be bold about the things of God. What do you mean, Coach Steve? What I mean is that when you are passionate about the things of God, and somebody invites you to come speak or somebody invites you to do something, you don't have to think about it. The only thing you're doing is staying aligned to God. God, is this something you want me to do? Yes, God, I'll go. But it should never be a situation where you say, oh, I don't know. I can't talk in front of these people. Oh, I don't, you know, I got to think about it. Or I need to, you know, I need to put. No. He said we're supposed to be ready in and out of season. We talked about that last week. If you stay ready, you'll never have to get ready. Amen. So, yes, when you're passionate, Peter was passionate about the things of God. He was bold in his preaching. He was preaching the word of God, and he was bold about it. Amen? Passionate. The third thing was Peter did not let his mistakes control his life. Hallelujah. How many of us are allowing our mistakes of the past, I just talked about this, control our lives? Many of us won't even get in, some of us have been through some bad relationships and, some bad relationships, and those relationships fail. And then we take those failed relationships and we harbor on them. So now we can't even get into a healthy new relationship because we're not even emotionally available. So we still stuck on the last relationship that didn't work right. We still stuck on the last relationship that didn't do right by us. We still stuck. You know what I'm saying? We're still stuck. And he's saying that Peter did not allow his mistakes to control his life. So what? I got out the boat. Yes, I had confidence when I first got out. But yes, I sinned. I took my mind off. I took my focus off of God. So I took my focus off of God and I began to sink. But that's not going to stop me from jumping out the boat again. Because if God is calling me to come out the boat again, I'm praying that the mistake of my past is not going to cause me to have fear. I'm praying that I learn from that mistake. What did I learn in that mistake? I learned that next time I won't take my focus off of God. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. Because if I keep my eyes on God, I know that I can do it. Why? Because the word tells me I could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. So if he's calling me out of the boat, surely he's not going to let me die. So I can stay focused. And then I'm not going to, and if I do lose focus and I do begin to sink, guess what? I'm not going to stop getting out the boat. I'm going to keep trying. You know, the old saying said, nothing beats a failure but a try. We got to keep trying. And the difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person is because the successful person didn't allow failure to define their destiny. They kept going, even when people said no. You know, how many no's till they got to the yes? You know, rejection is a big thing for people. Rejection has caused many people paralysis. People don't like to be rejected. So because, and if you have a fear of rejection, and I'll be honest, I had a fear of rejection. You know, I hated sales. I didn't want to do sales, and I didn't think that I had a fear of nothing. You know, oh, no, I don't have a fear of anything. I can speak. I'm passionate. I'm articulate. But what I found out is the reason why I hated sales is because I didn't want to have to deal with rejection. I didn't want to have to hear people tell me no. Why? Because I had gotten in the habit of hearing yes. So I had gotten in the habit of hearing yes, so I didn't want to hear no no's. And when I finally, years later, realized what my problem was, is that I had a fear of sales because I had a fear of rejection. And what I didn't realize at the time is that people wasn't rejecting me per se. They were rejecting the product. You know? And so it wasn't nothing personal, but I was internalizing it personally. And so what I found out is that the very thing that I was fearing, the very thing that I was scared of, the very thing that I didn't like, could have been the very thing that could have made me a millionaire. And not from just personal gain, but if I'm a millionaire, then I'm going to further the kingdom of God. Amen. God has built some millionaires. God has created some millionaires for the purpose of kingdom building, not for the purpose of vainglory. He could care less about the Bentley. He could care less about the 4,000 square foot home. He could care less. He's built, and the people that he's built millionaires, if he's built them, he knows they're going to take care of his kingdom. Amen. So, didn't let the mistakes control his life. Fourthly, Peter was a leader in spite of his fears. So, all of this tying together, he was a leader in spite of his fears. In other words, his fears drove him. You know, he didn't let his fears cause him to shrink. He didn't let his fears cause him to fall fall back. But it wasn't that he wasn't fearful, but he just didn't allow that fear to define him. It drove him. You know, yes, I might be afraid of this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to move forward in it. I'm going to try to succeed in it anyway. I'm going to overcome his fear. So he did not let his fears stop him from being a leader. He was still a leader. I wonder how many, you know, we always talk about us working people, if you've never been an entrepreneur, and I have been an entrepreneur because everybody want to be their own boss. That's what you always hear people say. I want to be my own boss. I want to be my own boss. But people don't want to pay the cost that it takes to be your own boss. And then I wonder how many bosses are leaders in spite of their fear. What do you mean, Coach D? See, if you ever been a boss and you know that, and especially if you have a business that is employing, let's say, more than two people, then you become a boss, now you're responsible for lives. You're responsible for people's livelihood. You're responsible to make sure that you meet payroll every week or every other week or whenever it pays. You're responsible for these things. So let's say you're doing business. Your employees don't want to know about because business doing bad. They don't care nothing about business doing bad. If they came and did their 8 hours, their 12 hours, their 14 hours on payday, they're expecting to be paid. They don't want to hear nothing about, well, we didn't make enough money. And some of you bosses out there, you know what I'm saying is the truth. So when it comes time for payroll, how many bosses is in fear? But it ain't stopping them from being a leader. Now they got to get creative because you know you got to meet that payroll. So you got to get creative. If enough profits didn't come in, enough sales didn't come in, and you can't meet that payroll, you better get creative to figure out a way how you're going to pull money from your credit card or pull money or go take a loan or whatever it is you need to do to meet payroll. Why? Because if you don't meet payroll, not only will you get into some legal complications, you're going to start losing your employees. And then you're going to get a reputation of you don't want to work for that company. Why? Because they don't pay their people. So there's a lot of leaders that don't, you know, that are leaders in spite of their fears. Lastly, Peter was mature enough to be grateful to those who rebuked him. He was mature enough to be grateful to those who rebuked him. His friend, and Peter was one of Jesus's three. You know, we talked about, if you listen to the shows in the past, we talked about the inner circles. Peter was one of Jesus's three. He was Jesus's homeboy, okay? They were tight. Peter seen a lot of things, and a lot of things was revealed probably to Peter than it was to some of the others, amen, because he was close. You know, we all got those, you know, we got family, you know, we got friends, and then we got best friends. And, you know, your besties is the ones you tell everything to. They know when you hurt, and they know when you, you know, they know everything. They know your insecurities, you know, they know your shortcomings, and, you know, there's all of that. So that's the way Peter, and I'm sure him and, that's the way him and Jesus were. So Jesus had to rebuke Peter probably a couple of times, but I'm thinking of one time in particular because Peter didn't, you know, just like any of us, we don't want, you know, we get family members that get sick and they transition on and we holding on for dear life. We don't want them to leave. Peter knew his friend was going, he knew that a day was coming when his friend wasn't going to be here no more. He was trying to stop the process. He was trying to stop the process, and Jesus had to rebuke him. But that didn't cause Peter to get mad and start pouting or be ready to fight Jesus because he rebuked him. No, he received it. He was mature enough to receive it. He understood it. He accepted it. He repented, and he kept moving on. How many of us are walking around, you know, now because somebody tried to correct us, that somebody tried to lead us, somebody tried to guide us. You know, I always talk about I have a spiritual mentor, and I do. And that's not a comfortable, you know, even being willing to submit to a mentor. You're saying that I'm submitting to you. I'm submitting to your correction. I'm submitting to your reproof. I'm submitting to your rebuking. I'm submitting today. So I can't get no attitude, and I'm not saying that I haven't, because I have that time, but I can't get mad and get an attitude and shut down when my spiritual mentor corrects me. Amen? And some of us can't be mentors. Why? Because we can't submit. And, you know, a lot of us only think that the only time the word submit is used is in the Bible to a wife submitting to her own husband. But, honey, all of us got to submit, male and female alike. Because if you're not submitting even as the husband, you got to submit to God. If you're not submitting to God, but then you want your wife to be able to submit to you, you see where I'm going? So submission, some of us don't even know how to do that. To be able to submit, to be able to allow someone to be your Lord, to be your mentor, to be your your coach. There's a submission process that takes place, and you can't get mad when you get corrected. It's called constructive criticism. People just don't like to be told nothing, so they begin to shut down. They begin to run. They begin to leave. They don't want to hear it, you know. Just tell me the good things about me. Yeah, just keep telling me the good things about me. I don't want to hear nothing bad. I don't want to hear nothing negative. All I want to know is what's good about me. What's good about me? What is it that you like? What is it that you could give me? What blessing can I get? And that's what's wrong with now. We see in the church, nobody's preaching hell. Nobody's preaching sin. Everything is about blessings. Everything is about prosperity. All, you know, everybody want a word. Everybody want a prophetic word. But if that prophetic word ain't telling them about the next spouse they going to get, or telling them about the next new car they going to get, or the next business they going to start, or, you know, it's that kind of stuff. But nobody's getting corrected. Nobody's been told about the other stuff that's going on. What else is going, you know, what are those things that's going on with us that shouldn't be? What are those things that's going on with us that if those closest to us felt safe enough to tell us and didn't think it would cause our friendship to dissolve, what would they be telling us? You know, would they tell you that you're hot-headed? Would they tell you that you're rude and obnoxious? Would they tell you that you got a potty mouth? Would they tell you that you drank too much? Would they tell? What would they be telling you? Amen. So we got to be able to try to open. And I'm not telling you to open up yourself to everybody, because you can't receive from everybody. Everybody don't have the right intentions. Everybody's heart is not pure. Everybody doesn't have a vested interest in you. You have to identify those people that's in your circles, and you begin to split your circles. And know your circles, amen. And my circle of three, what my circle of three is today, may not be my circle of three tomorrow. There may be some changes and some shifting going on. Sometimes God removes people that you thought was going to be in your life for the rest of your life. He removes them completely out of your life, amen. And so we, you know, identify your circles. Who's your inner three? Who's your inner 12? Who's your 70? Who's your 5,000? You know what I'm saying? Start identifying that, because everybody can't be. Everybody can't be your 12. Everybody can't be your 3. Yes, we know some of us know a lot of people. I was talking to a friend, and they were saying, you know, I don't really have no friends. I have a lot of childhood people I grew up with, and I guess I call them friends, but really they're not really friends. They just childhood people I grew up with that I knew. As a child growing up, I knew him as a teenager or whatever. But when you talk about a friend, you know, I often tell my grown sons, especially the youngest one, because they use that term loosely. Oh, that's, you know, my friend. But friends are people that come and visit you. Friends are people that spend time with you. See, Jesus said he called us his friends because he wants us to spend time. Friendship is intimate. You spend the time. You know, you're talking. You have a vested interest. You're getting to know each other. You care. You care about what they care about. You care about, you know, what if something hurts them. I don't want somebody to hurt my friend. So, you know, we need to find out who's really our friend. We could love everybody, you know, love our neighbors, but my neighbor is not my friend. In some cases, some people's neighbors are their friends, but my neighbors are not my friends. They're my neighbors. Do I love them? Yes, I love them with the love of the Lord. But I have some friends. I have some ride or dies. I have some people that I know that if I pick up the phone right now and call them, that they'll be there for me. I have some people that I know that they know the ugly parts of me. They know the Peter parts of me. And yet they still love me. I have some friends that is contending for my highest good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. That's friends. You know, really, you know, is there any Christian still left that you would lay down your life for a friend? Jesus said he, you know, Jesus said it. So I'm just saying, know who your friends are. Know who your inner circles are. I don't know how I got into that because we're getting away from that, but know that, and I'm gonna leave that alone. But getting back to Peter, so we've seen some of Peter's good things. We know some of his flaws, and I've listed some of those. You know, we talked about him losing focus when he, you know, when Jesus called him out to come to him, and he started off good walking on water. He lost focus. The moral to that story is that he lost focus. He took his eyes off of God. Many of us are doing that daily. We're taking our eyes off of God. God will tell us to do something. We take our eyes off of God. The thing that he told us to do fail because we took our eyes off. And, you know, so we're doing that daily. Many of us are denying Christ. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. How many of us is denying Christ? Just because we haven't spoke with our mouth and said, no, I don't know him. No, he's not my Lord and Savior. Not just because we haven't done that doesn't mean that we're not denying it. How are we denying it? We're denying him because it's time that Jesus wants to spend time with us. God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to have personal prayer time. He wants us to cut out a time of our, and, you know, throughout the day we could pray and stuff, but he wants a time that's dedicated to him. That would be like if you had a woman or you had a man. And if I had a man and every time my man turned around, I'm constantly working, I never have time to spend with him, then guess what? He's going to start feeling neglected. He's going to start feeling alone. And we hear it over and over and over again. We hear testimony after testimony how people got into affairs. And affairs generally start where there was a lot somewhere else. I'm not making it right. There's no excuse for cheating. But what I'm saying is that people have been very transparent about why they cheated. And oftentimes it's because they felt neglected by their mate. They felt like they weren't getting any attention. But yet and still, we do that to Jesus all the time. We do. You know, we don't have time. We get up, we go to work. We're working all day. We're stressed out at work. We're stressed out at home. We're stressed out paying the bills. We're stressed out doing this. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get to it. Oh, Lord, I'm going to take some time and get into your presence. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do this. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do that. And all the time, we just staying busy. We just staying busy. You know why I'm on the show tonight? I'm on the show tonight because I'm committed. I'm committed because everything about my day said that I didn't have the energy, I didn't have the time, I didn't have the I just didn't have it. But I got to thinking, you know what? No, I do have it. I don't care how late I have to stay at the office. I don't care how busy or how stressed my day was. I'm not willing to allow my job to cause me to put my commitment to God on the back burner. I'm not patting myself on the back because there's some days I did that. But I'm saying I'm not willing to do that. And there's times that I have done that and I've had to repent. But I'm saying I'm not willing to do that. That job is important, but it's not more important than my relationship with God. And so I'm going to trust that God is going to make a way. And he's making a way. He's made a way. He made a way for me to be here, to be on this show when it was time to be on this show at 9 o'clock. He made a way for me to be there. Now, I could have passed on that way. I could have said, no, I'm too tired or whatever. But he made a way, and because he made a way, because he got me home safe, because he got me home on time, guess what? I was willing to be the vessel that he needed me to be. Amen. So we want to, we're still talking about the flaws of Peter. So we know about his, sinking. We know about him denying Christ. We know about his temperament. And we, some of us deal with that. Some of us don't. Some of us just say, hey, it is what it is. But some of us, we still have a temperament. You know, when things are not going according to plan, we panic, or we get hot-headed, or we get angry. How many of us still haven't overcome that spirit of road rage? You know, some of us driving and we're on our way home and somebody cut us off, or somebody's driving too slow, and we get irritated, we get upset about it, and we may say a few choice words. I mean, there's so many things. The point of the story is, the point of tonight is letting you know that we all have flaws. None of us are perfect. All of us have fallen short. All of us have deficiencies. Amen. We all have deficiencies. But Peter is a perfect example of us not allowing our deficiencies to cause us to be disabled. Not allowing our deficiencies to define anything other than what God has called us to be and what he's created us to be. Again, our deficiencies are distinctive, which define us as different. So things about Peter made him different. It made him different, not disabled. It didn't destroy what God created him to be, because he denied Jesus. Jesus reconciled him back to him. Jesus was going to still use Peter to do what he told Peter was going to do. Jesus is going to still use you to do what he told you he was going to use you to do, in spite of you, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, in spite of you dealing with maybe some character flaws, because the only person that could change those things in us is Jesus. He's the only one that could begin to transform us and renew us. Amen. So he's going to start using, and the closer we come to him, even in our deficiencies, the closer we become to him, the more we spend time with him, the more we spend time in his word, the more we begin, that's that divine intervention, the more we begin to develop those things, that stuff, into our destiny. Now, going to Paul. Paul has some thorns in his side. The Bible's not clear what those thorns are. We don't know what they are. Some theologians have, said, or they think or suggested, but we don't know what those are. But those thorns, those were deficiencies. But they didn't disable him for doing what God called him to do. He continued to carry the gospel. Amen. He continued to tell people about Jesus. Are we continuing to do what God's called us to do? Are we continuing to tell people about Jesus? How many people do you tell about Jesus? Or do you feel like this is so personal? I hear people say, well, that's a personal thing. You ain't got to go around. No. Yes, it is personal. But how many things are good to you that you don't tell others? If you go eat at a good restaurant, you're going to tell somebody about it, right? If you go and find a good clothing store and they got some good deals, you're going to tell everybody about it, right? If you find a new diet or a new vitamin that's good, what you going to do? You're going to tell everybody about it. So why should your walk and your relationship with God be any different? God has been good to me, and I know he's been good to you. And if he's been good to you, how can you keep that to yourself? You should be telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. You should be telling somebody about Jesus and what all he has done for you, what he's delivered you from, what he's helped you with. You should have testimony after testimony that you could tell other people. And when you tell other people about how good your God is, because there's a whole lot of little G's out there, but when you begin to tell people about how good your God is, then guess what? Then those people, if they don't know him and they don't know about God, then they're going to start wanting to know, man, he's always talking about how good his God is, and I'm looking at his life. I'm looking at him. He's always smiling. I'm looking at her. She's always bubbling. You know, she just always, you know, it's something about believers. It's something about people who's trusting in the Lord. And it's not saying our lives are perfect. It's not saying that we ain't struggling financially or anything else. It's not saying that we may not be struggling in our bodies. But it's something about us that other people look and see, and all they see is everything's great. They see everything is great. And that's because we serve a great God. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. Thank you for the word that went forth, Father. Father God, I pray that this word has penetrated through the hearts of your people, Lord. Father God, I know that some people are struggling in this season. People are struggling in their bodies. People are struggling with the loss of loved ones. And Father God, I lift those people up before you in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would just do a divine intervention in their lives, Lord. Father God, you said in the last days, Father God, you said in the last days that, you know, that young men will prophesy. You said that we will see signs and wonders, Father God. Father God, I am just foolish enough to believe that you watch over your word to perform it, that it shall not return unto you void. Father God, I'm foolish enough to believe, Father God, that when we speak it, according to Mark 11:22, that when we speak it, it manifests. Father God, I'm foolish enough to believe, Lord, that you are still healing the sick. Father God, that you are still causing the blind to see and the lame to walk. Father God, I'm still foolish enough to believe that cancer is being removed in the name of Jesus. Father God, I'm foolish enough to believe that you are meeting people's needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I'm foolish enough to believe that you could do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Father God, I just pray that there's some more people that's listening in on tonight that's foolish enough to believe that you are Lord and that you, Father God, have come, that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again on the third day. For who? For me and for them, Father God. Father God, I pray that we would just get bold about the things of God. Father God, that we will not let our deficiencies cause us to be disabled, Father God, but that we will know that your divine intervention, Father God, and who you created us to be, Father God, will go forth in the earth. So, Lord, we just say thank you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for, Father, you are truly worthy. You are worthy, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Somebody mentioned last week, they said, you know, Coach D, she don't open up the lines no more and ask nobody to say nothing. And it's not that. It's just that I just kind of move according to the Spirit. And, you know, and so if people have something that they want to say after the show, I'm going to give you right now a moment. If you have something that you want to say in regards to the show, you can dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, you can dial 1, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Other than that, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that the word blessed you on tonight. It definitely blessed me because I'm not going to allow my deficiencies to cause me to be disabled. Again, I'm going to read that to you guys. My deficiencies are my distinctives, which defines me as different. So they only define me as being different, but not disabled. And with divine intervention, which comes from God, it develops my destiny. I am who God created me to be. Amen. Amen. Well, know that you're loved and appreciated. I will see you guys next Thursday. We will be, I know this, matter of fact, this Thursday was supposed to be a guest. So now we'll get back on track starting March the 1st. It'll be me the second and fourth Sunday. I mean, Thursday will be guest speakers. I'm lining up guests to get them in the door, so that we could be encouraged by their testimony and by the word of God. We do have a guest that's going to be coming back. We had some technical difficulties, and we are going to be welcoming that guest back to share her story again back on Processing the Pain. So Again, know that you are loved and appreciated. I appreciate you all. And I will see you next Thursday. Have a good evening.
I surrender.